Today being April the 23rd, 2023, all right? We are going to be doing lesson number 12 in this series from the book of Isaiah. And you know, this has been a good series from Isaiah, showing us about Messiah. Last week we did the lesson on Messiah's kingdom, part one. And I really am hoping to get this part two finished today. And so we're going to try to do this, but I want to give you this thought today. As we're looking at this lesson on Messiah's kingdom and the Lord Jesus coming back for this millennial reign that he's going to reign and rule for 1,000 years, I want to remind you, we need revival. Because I don't want anybody to miss out on being with the Lord in his kingdom. I don't want to miss out on having the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with anybody that needs to be saved, that needs to hear the message of the gospel and be saved. And you know, I need a revival in my heart. I'm telling you, I need it in my heart. Somebody asked me, they said, well, the church needs a revival. And I looked at him and I said, well, aren't you part of the church? Amen. You know, it needs to start with you and me. And we need revival today. We need to see everything that's going on around us and understand that Jesus is coming back again. And buddy, the way things are looking and the way that things are progressing so quickly, I saw in the news this week where China now is getting involved in peace relations with Israel and Saudi Arabia, and they are willing to get involved with all of that. Can you imagine that? That's incredible to think about. We are seeing Scripture fulfilled before our eyes. And folks, it's not going to be long before the Lord Jesus comes again. Our theme verse today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 3. And he said here, Isaiah wrote, he said, "And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Boy, what a day that's going to be. Now, I want us to look at this lesson today. I've tried to break it down a little bit for you here today. I want us to look, first of all, at the return of the Messiah. The return of the Messiah. Again, last week I showed you how that there are many different views of what people think about the Lord's return. But folks, there's only one Bible view. And this thing has to do with the premillennial, okay, pre-tribulation time return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to rapture us out of here. And that word rapture just simply means to gather up, to take out. And that's exactly what he's going to do with us. We're going to be taken out of this world before all of these things happen during that tribulation period. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad to know that we're going to be out of here at that time. Amen. Now, we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give account unto him. Amen. And we're going to give account unto him as his children. Okay? Every quarter, Danny has to give account of himself for his report card. Okay? Now, if he doesn't do well during the school year, he won't get a good report at the end of the school year. And you know what the goal is? The goal is to encourage him to do his best while he's in class so when he gets that report card, he can stand accountable and we can be able to look at him and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful student." Amen? That's what we want to be able to tell him. Good job, man. Good job. We need to work on this or we need to work on that. When we stand before the Lord, there won't be another chance for us then to go back and do anything else. And many folks, you know, they're on their last years of living and their deathbed, they would say, "Man, I wish I could go back and change things." But folks, we can't go back. We cannot move the hands of time back. But we can start today. And we can start living for God today. We can start doing what God has said to do today. Why? Because one day he is coming back again. One day you and I will stand before him and give account unto him as our Heavenly Father, as children that are supposed to be obedient unto the Lord. And let me say this. You know why we need to obey the Lord? Because we love him enough to do it. We've taught our children growing up, I hope that's what you did, you taught them to love you enough to obey you, to love you enough to trust you, to do what you've instructed them to do. And you know what? That's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to love him enough to serve him on this earth as we ought to serve him, to live for him the way we ought to live for him. We do it, why? Because we love him. Now, I want us to see some things here in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to be turning to different places today, but I want you to look, first of all, in Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, we're going to look at some things here. Now, as we've been studying through the Old Testament book of Isaiah, we see how that God shows unto his man, how he showed unto Isaiah that Messiah would indeed come into the world in a supernatural manner. Had the Messiah come into the world as a babe, born of a virgin, born in an insignificant seeming place, but it was important to God. And it was the way that God had it set up for him to come in. And while Isaiah speaks of Messiah's coming, he was not totally able to understand everything that he was seeing, what he was being told. We know that from the scriptures. And there were two separate comings into this world. He came the first time as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. But when he comes back the second time, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back to set up his kingdom. He's coming back to judge those that are unrighteous, those who have rejected him, those who have caused his name to be blasphemed. He's coming back that second time. And although there are times in the scriptures here where Isaiah is writing, he writes things that refer both to the first coming and to the second coming, he's basically seeing it as one time when Messiah comes. He did not fully understand all those things that God was trying to reveal. And Isaiah saw and he wrote of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also wrote of his great glory as the promised Messiah that would come. And I want to share this with you today. I want to show you just one example out of the book of Isaiah that kind of shows what I'm talking about here. Look at it with me here in Isaiah chapter 52. I was looking at this and I thought, you know, he's seeing Messiah in two different ways here. Look at it. Beginning in verse number 13, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. And I want to ask you, as we read these things, I want to ask you, are these things all going to take place at one time or are they going to be two separate events? Now you look at it and you tell me. Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. In verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Now, let me ask you this morning, when Isaiah wrote these words, okay, he presumed that each of these events would happen all at one time somewhere in the future. He didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, but he knew it was going to be something that would happen in the days ahead, in the coming days. But what he could not see or understand was that the suffering of Messiah that was seen and he described here in verse number 14 would occur at Messiah's first coming, but that the glory and the exaltation of Messiah written about here in verses 13 and 15 would be given unto him at his second coming. Do you see that today? He's writing it all as one story. But he's talking about two events that's going to happen. The first time Jesus came as the spotless Lamb of God. He was going to come and die for the sins of the world. He came to minister, okay, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, he said. And he came to give the reason for God's great love for you and for me. He came to finish the work that his Father had for him to do. And that was to pay the debt for all mankind to be able to spend eternity with God in heaven. He came to perform that job. But then later, after his second coming, he's going to be seen as the great and mighty King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now I want you to go over to Revelation chapter 19 just a moment. Revelation chapter 19. We're going to begin here in verse number 11, where the Apostle John would write these words. He said, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's my Jesus, amen. That's him, amen. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Boy, what a day that's going to be. Can you imagine? But that did not happen at his first coming. That's happening at his second coming, when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know, the Bible talks about it, distinguishes between these two things. And bless his heart, Isaiah did not see that. Isaiah wrote specifically about Messiah's second coming. He wrote about those things, and he did indeed write of those things that would take place in Messiah's first and second coming. But I want you to see today that we have something to be thankful for today. We need to be thankful for the complete, finished Word of God that we have today that shows us what the truth is. Isaiah didn't have all that yet. And you know, those saints of old, they lived by faith of the Word of God. They lived by faith. And you and I today are to live by faith. We get spoiled, don't we? We've been spoiled by the Word of God. Oh, man, we've been so spoiled by the Word of God, we don't take time to read it. We don't take time to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against God. We don't share it with other people because it just simply means nothing. But to these Jews These Jews who had been in captivity for their sin, God wanted them to know, listen, there's coming a day that things are going to be good for you. And I'm going to restore unto you the things that were taken away. And one day, God's people are going to dwell in the land that belongs to them. Amen? It's not to be bartered over. It's not to be bargained with. God said, all of this that you can see, it's going to be yours. And I'm going to make sure that you get it. You have it. So I want you to look at this today with me. Let's look at a few things that's going to take place after Messiah's coming, okay? And it's going to accompany the establishment of His glorious kingdom. Now, there are lots of people today in our world, and they want to exalt their little kingdoms, okay? Everybody in the world wants to exalt their own kingdom. My wife last night was telling me there's a new law coming out or something. It's supposed to start in May. That if you've got good credit and you get a mortgage rate or something like that, your mortgage rate is going to be higher because you have good credit. And I thought, boy, that's crazy to pay for somebody else's thing. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, when He comes back, He's going to fix all these things. Don't you worry about these things. Don't sit and just get all bumfuzzled about all these things that's coming to pass. Listen, Jesus said these things are going to happen. We need to expect it. And it's just letting us know that the Lord Jesus is soon going to be coming back again. Now, I want you to look at this thing today. I want you to see the reckoning of the living. We got to remember something today, that only the saved, those who know Christ, will be living in that millennial kingdom of the Lord. The saved, the born again, those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, just a moment. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. Isaiah prophesied how that Messiah would one day proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, as well as the day of vengeance of our God. Now, he spoke about that. And in that glorious day, according to this verse, Messiah is also going to comfort all that mourn. You know what? When you're crying, your heart's been broken. Isn't it great when somebody comes to comfort you, to love you, to encourage you, to strengthen you during that time? That's what Messiah is going to be doing for these Jews. And in verse 3, the Bible talks about how that Messiah would appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That He, God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, that He might be glorified. What a blessed day that's going to be for all those that enter into that glorious kingdom of Messiah. But look at what the Bible said. I just want to show you some things. When Jesus came to this earth, He sat before the crowds of people and He tried to teach them. He tried to tell them. And He read those verses. And we saw this in the living cross. Jesus sat before them and He read this particular passage from the book of Isaiah. He read here how that he told the people, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible talks about there in the book of Luke that when He read that passage, He stopped right there. He rolled it back up together and He gave that scroll back to the priest that was there in that temple. He gave it back to him and He said, this day, what is the scripture fulfilled in your ears? It's been fulfilled. I'm here. I'm here the first time. The Bible said he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He came the first time. He fulfilled the scriptures. He did everything that the Old Testament scripture said he was going to come and do at that first coming. And folks, listen to me. If he did what he said he was going to do at the first coming, don't you think he's going to do the same thing when he comes the second time? He's going to fulfill those scriptures. He's going to do it. Messiah had indeed come to preach the good tidings of God's love and salvation to the lost and dying world. But Jesus stopped before quoting that part which told of his vengeance and his judgment against those who would choose to reject him at his second coming. He's going to come and do that at his second coming. And this would first come to pass with, number one, the reckoning of Israel. The reckoning of Israel. You know what? Today, many of the Jews today don't even believe in God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They are full of tradition. They are steeped in religious tradition, but they know not the God that they do these things for. They don't remember. Listen, when they remember Passover, listen, Passover was a picture of what Jesus was going to come and do for everybody, for the Jews and for the world as well. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And folks, that's what makes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ so important today in salvation. It's not our works. Heavens knows it's not our good looks, our bank accounts, our position of fame or fortune in this world. It's not where you go to church at. It's not how many verses you memorized in your head or written down or how many times you say hello to Mary with a necklace around your neck. That's not what's going to get you to heaven. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Listen, the blood had to be shed. But listen to me. The blood also had to be applied. You know what? It did no good for Moses to tell the people, "Now you kill that lamb and you pour its blood into a basin and you go and sit in your house." No, the blood had to be applied to the doorpost and the lintel of each and every house. And when God passed over that night, he said, "When I see the blood," what kind of blood? The blood applied. He said, "I will pass over you." There's coming a reckoning day. Ezekiel wrote about this. I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter 20 just a moment. The Old Testament book of Ezekiel chapter 20. Beginning in verse number 33, Ezekiel wrote these words. He says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Now, Isaiah didn't write these words. Ezekiel wrote this of the coming day of reckoning among the people of Israel, where only the repentant, those who accepted Christ as the Messiah, would enter into that kingdom. Now, you think about this just a moment. folks think, well, just because I'm a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a whatever else you may be, I'm going to heaven. Folks, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. Listen, just because a person is a Jew, they must, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And everybody gets to heaven the same way. Listen, God doesn't make one way for Mike and another way for Joe and another way for Tom and another way for Gertrude and another way for Zelda and all these other. He doesn't do that. He's made one door for all to go through. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And listen to me, folks. Isaiah stated here in Isaiah chapter 61 that Messiah will not only at that time proclaim the day of vengeance of our God, but he will comfort all that mourn. And ultimately, he's going to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. You look at all the destruction that's going on in the Middle East right now. And all those places that are warring and fighting against one another. And it's all over religion, okay? It's all, and whether the world wants to see that or not, that's what it's all about. One group saying, I'm Abraham's children. Another group saying, no, I'm Abraham's children. No, this is my land. No, this is my land. And everybody's fussing and fighting. And God's going to come back one day and he's going to say, you know what? This is the land that I promised to my chosen people. And he's going to comfort them that mourn. He's going to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The holy righteousness of Messiah will indeed be proclaimed in that day. And it's going to dominate the spiritual condition of that millennial kingdom. Listen, you're not going to have folks there lifting up themselves like people do in our world today. Boy, everybody wants to lift up themselves. Good night. You lift up yourself and all you do is show all your sin. That's all you do. But listen, there's going to be a reckoning for Israel and there's going to be a reckoning for the Gentiles as well. Now, I want you to see this in Isaiah chapter 34. Look at Isaiah chapter 34 just a moment. Isaiah wrote of that day in Isaiah chapter 34, verses 1 and 2. And he said, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to their slaughter for their treatment against the chosen people of God. God is going to bring forth judgment. Listen, there are people today, just a week or two ago, I think they were celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Holocaust or something like that. I can't remember now. And during all that, people out shooting them and killing them again and saying, we'll do it all over again. And you know what, folks? God is going to take vengeance upon those folks, the Gentile world, for the way that they have treated Israel. As a matter of fact, in the book of Joel, in the Old Testament book of Joel, just write this down, Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, he said, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and they have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if you recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head, because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off. For the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Boy, folks, there's going to be a day when God is going to deal with those who have hurt his people and those that have brought harm unto him. Jesus even spoke of this in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. In Matthew, chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, Jesus spoke of that day of reckoning with the Gentiles. And this is what Jesus said: when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee, a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, and in as much as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye've done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What a sad day that's going to be, folks. What a sad day. And folks, I want you to understand, if you'll read through Isaiah, and you read chapters 12 all the way up through 23. It'll take you a little time to do it. But you read about that. One can see the judgment of God falling upon the many nations, the Gentile nations. You'll read about that judgment that's coming one day. And in all these things, we also see something of great significance, and that being the regeneration of Israel. The regeneration of Israel. Now think about this just a moment. God is indeed going to judge the unrighteous. He is going to judge, and it should be noted that only the saved are going to enter into his kingdom. But I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. And God said there, he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Go back one chapter to chapter 44. Look at this. Beginning in verse 21. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21. God says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, For thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. In other words, God is reminding them, I didn't need any help in doing any of this stuff. Amen. It didn't take a million years for it to accidentally happen. I did it on purpose. In 6 days, God created all things. And you know what? In that day, Israel will finally come to recognize not only the great love that Messiah had for them, but he continues to have for them. And for all the ends of the earth, God extended that same great love. And he wrote there in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, how that he would be wounded for our transgressions. And Isaiah is trying to get his people to see this. They're thinking, oh, you know, God doesn't care for us anymore. And God and Isaiah is saying, listen, Messiah is going to be wounded because of our sin. He's going to be bruised because of our iniquities. He's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. God wanted the people to know that he loved them. And he cared for them. And they will in that day both see and understand how that even though Messiah suffered, and he suffered greatly due to their sinful attitudes, their sinful rebellion, their rejection of Messiah, yet because he loved them, Isaiah would write in verses 10 and 11, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Bruise who? Messiah. It pleased God. God was pleased to do this. Why? Because there was no other way for his people to be redeemed. There was no other way for you or me to be redeemed from our sin. There was no way for our sin to be reckoned with other than the Lord Jesus Christ paying that debt. And they will in that day. They're going to see and understand that their redemption is not because of their own goodness. It's not because of their keeping of the laws of Moses. It's not because they were just God's chosen people, but they're going to see and understand that as Messiah wrote here, or as Isaiah wrote here in Isaiah 43:1, that it was because of the redemptive work of God and God alone. Folks, listen, when we are saved by God's power, not our own. There's nothing we can add to it. There's nothing can be taken away from it. God does the work. And listen to what God told them here in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now saith, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. And in chapter 45, verse 25, he told him, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Not in their righteousness, not in their good works or their good deeds or their obedience to the law, but in the Lord God of Israel himself. In him shall all the seed of Israel be justified. You see, they must come to Christ just like you and I come to Christ. They must be born again. Now, I want you to see this. Not only do we see here the regeneration of Israel, but we also see the reign of Messiah. Now, when I say the reign of Messiah, I'm talking about his rule, his ruling. Look at the conditions of Israel in that day in particular. I want you to see the political conditions. Boy, the political conditions in Israel today are not very good. The political conditions in any part of the world today is not good. Everybody is looking for a leader. Everybody's looking for someone to guide them, to direct them. They're divided. They're tumultuous. They're immoral. They're out of control today. Common sense has no place in politics anymore. Listen, you know what politics is, don't you? Poly means many. Ticks means bloodsuckers. Okay, all right. There are many out here today just sucking the blood, the life out of their people today to get what they want. But in that day, Isaiah's prophecy found in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we often think about this at Christmas, but he said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Amen? And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice, with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And how do we know that this is going to come to pass? How do we know that everything that Isaiah said here in this verse is going to come to pass? We look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, the last part of that verse. He said, I'm going to tell you how it's going to happen. He said, the zeal of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. God himself is going to see that it happens. Amen. When God says it's going to happen, you can understand it. Now look how it's going to come to pass in the structure of government. You know, government can be good, but too much government is not good. And listen to me today. During Messiah's millennial reign, the Lord Jesus himself is going to rule, and he's going to be the head of all the government upon this earth. He's going to be the head. And when Jesus told his disciples about this, he said this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Matthew 19, 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 27, we read how that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And in chapter 20, he said this. John wrote this. He said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And in verse 6 of that very same chapter, John said, blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Man, what a day that's going to be. Now, I want you to understand something. There are going to be subjects in the government. Israel's going to become the most well-favored nation in the world. Why? Because Messiah is there. All nations are going to come to hear him, to see him, to know him, to hear the words that he says. All nations who know the Lord will come and they'll be welcome in Messiah's kingdom. But you listen to me today. The Bible said in Isaiah 14:1 that the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Can you imagine? And then we're going to see the strength of his government. The strength of his government. Again, the strength of his government shall not be the might of its armies. Listen, we claim to have a great army, a navy, air force, marines, all this other stuff. But listen, God is going to be the head of all that. The Lord Jesus Christ, God himself in the flesh. It's not going to be because of the ability of the soldiers. The government strength is going to be found in its leader alone. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're going to find strength in the government. And then the economic conditions in that day. Now, nobody knows what's going to happen in our economic world today. Everybody is talking about this digital currency and everything that's coming into play. And when July 1 comes around and all these other things happen, you're not going to be able to do this and can't do that. And all these other things are going to happen. Listen, it's so uncertain today. So uncertain. But in that day, it's going to be perfectly healthy. Because Jesus is going to be the one that takes care of it. Listen, the land of Israel, that land is going to prosper. It's going to produce like it's never been able to produce before. God is going to send the rains that will take the desert away. And they're going to produce things that will supply for the whole world. The Bible talks about that. I don't have time to go through it all. But the productivity of that land is going to be seen in that day. And God is going to be the reason. The Lord Jesus, that Messiah that came, is going to be the reason for it all. But the last thing I want you to see is the spiritual conditions of that land. The spiritual conditions are going to be made manifest. Isaiah 60, verse 21 says this, "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Messiah's character is going to be seen throughout all the land in the people that live there. You know what? That's what God wants in our lives today. He wants folks to see Christ in us today. And there's only one way we can do that. We have to die to self to do it. He's going to be adored by all those who come to see him. But you know what? There are going to be many that's going to miss out unless somebody tells them about the Savior. And that's why I gave you this little chorus today. And it simply says this, "Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival, and let it begin with me." We need revival. I want to see as many people can be saved as can be saved, so they don't have to stand in judgment, but they can be with the Lord in his kingdom one day. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for the precious promises of your word. And I pray, Lord, today that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see that none of these things will come to pass without your power, without your strength. Lord, help us not to be discouraged today, but to keep our eyes upon you. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. Speak to people's hearts. Lord, ask us, Lord, what we can do for you. Lord, show us, God, the need of revival that we might be able to serve you and reach the world with the gospel before it's eternally too late. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.